listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today, Natalia Munoz, host of Via Con Munoz on WHMP, and Mike Dobbs, managing editor with Reminder Newspapers. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
This week, Springfield Mayor Dominic Sarno said he would not give permission for further refugee resettlement in his city. An executive order by President Trump requires cities and towns to sign off on placements as well as states. Maxine Stein with Jewish Family Service, a resettlement agency, says they reached out to Sarno looking to sit down with the mayor.
To basically, hopefully, talk with him about the importance of Springfield as being a refugee resettlement city. And we got no response.
Natalia, Sarno this week repeated previous concerns about Springfield having done enough for refugees and about what he called the burden resettlement puts on city services, among other things. Do you buy that?
I do. These resettlement agencies have contracts, limited contracts with the federal government to resettle refugees. And once that contract is up, the caseworkers disappear, the interpreters disappear, the job development coaches, everybody disappears, and then the city is left holding these families and trying to then accommodate them as best as possible with the limited funds. So I think this is, Sarno sometimes does not speak very, delicately about delicate issues, but I think he's calling out the resettlement agency's failure in following up with refugees that they host, they bring over to Springfield.
Mike, Sarno's announcement came a day after the city council passed a resolution supporting refugees in Springfield. This is far from the first time the council and the mayor have disagreed on immigration issues. What's your take?
Well, I think that people get confused about two things. When they hear this subject, they think about the whole sanctuary city movement. That's completely different. That's completely different than what we're talking about. What we're talking about is just what Natalia said. It's agencies that basically get paid to bring over people who certainly need to be resettled someplace safe. But then there's a very limited amount of support. And now you have people who are struggling to learn English. They're struggling to learn the culture. They're struggling to understand what their role is in this country. Springfield is a poor city, and we do have finite resources. And I think that the mayor is trying to make a very valid point. I'm just hoping that people don't get confused with his stance about sanctuary cities, because that's completely different.
Staying in Springfield, there's been a lot made over the city's efforts to clean up after a lingering storm dumped well over a foot of snow earlier this month. Residents, the city council, and the mayor were all critical of the Department of Public Works. And there's been a lot of changes proposed, including pre-treating roads and putting up a map of plowing operations online for all to see. Mike, in a column, you too were critical about snow removal. Are you satisfied with what's been proposed?
I think it's a step in the right direction. People have to understand that cities like Springfield, Holyoke, Westfield, Chicopee, these are cities that were planned out largely before the advent of the automobile. Snow removal was never anything that people thought about. This is a 20th century construction. And we have problems with it. And I think that people are right to look at what the DPW has done and not done.
In Holyoke, we had similar problems. There are side streets that are ice skating rinks still today. I don't know if it's a lack of staffing, of sand, of salt, of planning, but it's a problem and it's a dangerous problem.
Moving along, this is going to be our final edition of the shortlist for 2019. And as we like to do, let's take a look back at some stories from the past year. Natalia, let me start with you first. For our region, in your mind, what was the biggest story for 2019?
I think it's the school education allotment that's going to be distributed across Massachusetts. And I know that Holyoke is going to get something almost $34, $35 million over the next 7 years. And I would have loved to seen much more reporting on that.
And Mike, education funding, of course, coming from Beacon Hill, that was a long-awaited bill. Your thoughts on that particular issue?
Well, I think that we actually have started the conversation. We haven't finished the conversation about whose responsibility is it to fund schools? How are we to fund schools? And most importantly, how do we get equity? I spoke to one state legislator who he voted for it, but he was unhappy because he felt that his district, which was more suburban, isn't going to get the kind of impact that one of the cities in the area are getting. So it's the beginning, I think, of a conversation.
And Mike, what's your biggest story for the region over the past year?
Oh, I have so much trouble picking just one. But the two that really fascinated me was, number one, Congressman Neal ascending to the throne of power that he's currently has, and what that will actually mean for us in terms of the district. The second one is I was absolutely fascinated by Governor Baker's stance on not just vaping, but then flavored tobaccos. We're going to be losing a lot of money by banning the flavored tobaccos. And all I think that we've done by that is to create a contraband substance that people will buy in New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Maine.
Natalia, what do you think about either of those issues?
Yes. Richard Neal's seat on the House Ways and Means is a very important step for Western Massachusetts, since Boston tends to forget that there is anything 20 miles west of Boston, that we have a congressman who's on the House Ways and Means in D.C., I think, will be very good for us in Western Massachusetts.
And Natalia, looking at 2019, you mentioned one, but is there another story that maybe was underreported in our region?
Yes, I think it's been underreported how Republicans in Western in Massachusetts and Connecticut, how elected Republicans basically do not say anything in the face of the deranged presidency that we have with Donald Trump in the White House. Donald Trump almost every single day says something that is so offensive, so hurtful. As we know, he picked on a 16-year-old girl the other day, and nobody stands up for what is right. And I would hope that members of his Republican Party would stand up and say, he said that, but that's not who I am. And I think that was wrong.
And Mike, real quick, your underreported story or a story you should have heard more about in 2019?
I asked my staff this question, and Debbie Gardner on my staff came up with a great answer. And she said, you know, there's been a lot of reporting about the number of children that need Christmas presents. Toys for Tots said there were 75,000 children this year in Western Massachusetts that they are going to service, and it was the highest amount. So here's the question. If our economy is doing so well, how come so many people are in so great a need?
All right, Mike Dobbs with the reminder, and Natalia Munoz, host of Viacom Munoz. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us for the Shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can get the Shortlist anytime you'd like at Apple Podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.